Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
In John chapter 4, verse number 16, Jesus said unto her, "Go, call thy husband, and come hither." Go get your husband and come back here. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom thou now have, he is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." Colossians 2 and 10 says, "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." I want to preach for just a little while today, complete in him. Complete in him. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and pray together for the preaching of the word today. Lord, we love you and thank you that you are everything that we need. Hallelujah. That you supply all of our needs, God, according to your riches and glory. We're thankful for the victory that comes through you and through your great name. Today, Lord, let our ears be ready to hear what the Spirit would say. God, let us make the adjustments, Lord. Let us take a step of faith as this word goes forth and change what needs to be changed, to do what needs to be done, Lord, that we might be better and ready to serve you and be ready when you come. We ask these things today now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord today. Give him a shout of praise in the house. Hallelujah. God is great. God is great. And you can be seated. God bless you today in Jesus' name. Complete in him. I don't like incomplete things. I don't like, that can be expensive since I like to collect stuff. I want the sets of the things I'm collecting to be complete. Start adding up all the money you spend collecting. I've learned to have restraint on some things, but I tell you, I just enjoy collecting things. I grew up, I was a giant Star Wars fan from the time the movie came out, and I still collect Star Wars stuff today. Not as much, but I can get lost scrolling through eBay and different things. Like, I just need one more figure, and that'll complete that set. And yeah, you know how it is. I don't like incomplete things. I want things to be done. I want things to be fixed. I don't like my food to be undercooked. I want it to be completely cooked. I want it done right. I don't want to bite into it. Don't you just love to get you a nice, wonderful chicken breast, and you bite into the middle of it, and it's like rubber? A little pink, not complete. You didn't finish cooking this. It ain't complete yet. I don't want that. But I can't stand it. My daughter and I were putting a puzzle together that we had bought, and I love to do puzzles. We whole thing getting done, missing one piece. Brand new puzzle out of the box, missing one piece. I bought another one. Found that one piece and threw the 999 pieces away. I was going to admit that puzzle was not going to sit there missing a piece. And so I did it. And my wife will tell you, what'd you do with the other puzzle? I threw it in the trash. It wasn't no good. It was missing a piece. Mine's complete. I love completeness. I love for things to be done and be taken care of. And there's a song that I listen to. I like the new stuff. I just don't know the new stuff. All the stuff they're singing today, I love that kind of stuff. I love, they'll ask me about songs. I don't know the names of them. I'm still stuck in the 90s when it comes to Christian music. I still listen to DC Talk and stuff like that. Yeah, man, come on. Yeah, man. Yeah, Jesus is all right with me. You know, But there's a song, and these words say this: you'll never find peace of mind in your pool of self. You'll never find peace of mind in your sea of wealth, in your rock and roll, if you sell your soul, in your lucky charm, on a hippie farm, in a one-night stand, or in your Superman. And it says, you got to like it. You got to love it. I know you need some Jesus in your life. How many knows we need Jesus? Come on, somebody. We need him. Probably the biggest part of anybody's testimony ever told, they will say over and over again, you have people say there was something missing. I was doing this and do that, but I was not satisfied. There was just something missing in my life. I was not whole. I was not complete. And I needed something. And I didn't realize until I met him, that's what I needed. I didn't need to just hear about him. I didn't need to just know that he existed, but I needed him in my life. I needed the Christ, the Son of the living God. I needed the blood of the Lamb. I needed that resurrected Savior. I needed the Spirit of Christ dwelling inside of me today so I could feel complete in him. Nobody wants to ever feel empty, alone, incomplete, like something's just lacking. Nobody likes that. And the thing is that it's just human nature. We have them. We have that kind of feeling. It can be in anything. I don't have everything I need here. Something's wrong. Something's missing. I've got to have it. And the problem is if we don't know him, we start searching. And we start looking for ways because it's not pleasant feeling like I'm missing out. I see other people, and they don't look like they're missing out, but I feel like I don't have what they have. I haven't got what. Well, it's dangerous, especially in young people. And it may be cliche, but pastoring a church for almost 18 years now, I've seen stuff like this over and over again. I've watched young people that they see that this friend, they get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. This one gets engaged. This one gets married. And all of a sudden, it's like they're in a panic mode. I'm going to be the last one. I got to have somebody. And you grab the first cowboy or cowgirl that runs by, and whoo, you don't want that rodeo. Because you'd be better off by yourself sometimes than to just jump into that first relationship that comes along just because of a feeling, I don't want to be alone. Ain't nothing wrong with having somebody. I got the best somebody. And let me tell you, there ain't nothing wrong with having somebody. I love having somebody. And it's great. But you know what I'm saying, because you would say it to me. She didn't complete me. We made it up in our mind first off early on before we even got married. I never, ever, ever better be number one in your life, but I better be the number two. I better be a close second because nobody comes in this relationship before Jesus does. We need him. We've got to have him. So we search the world. Why do you think that people have addictions? They're looking for something. They search the world for things, trying to fill the void, make us feel alive. It can be anything. It can be adrenaline junkies, jumping out of planes and riding bicycles on top of skyscrapers and things, crazy nonsense like that. And one guy I saw, he jumped out of an airplane without a parachute. A guy that climbed that big, tall mountain with nothing, just his bare hands and feet, climbing it. The adrenaline. Yeah, well, the adrenaline stops real quick when you fall. And that can happen with anything. Oh, this is it. This is it. What a feeling. What a rush. What a rush until it stops. Let me tell you, the feeling you get with Jesus don't never stop. When he moves in, when you surrender to him, when you realize this is what I have been looking for, and you say, how can you say that? Because I can tell you, because it's been over 30 years now. It's been 31 years, almost 32 years now that I've been living for God. And I did not grow up in the church. And I know what it's like to look for things in this world and to search out things in this world, trying to be popular, trying to have friends, trying to be part of the gang, trying to be the coolest one or things like that. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to look in alcohol and drugs and things like that, rock and roll. And I worked for a band and lived that lifestyle, and I was just trying to pull all this in. And yet, when it started drying up, the band quit traveling, so now I wasn't going anywhere with them. And now I'm just this guy who hangs around town on the weekends, drinking and whatever, trying to find a party, trying to be a party. Relationships, things, so just trying anything and everything, because I realize I'm nothing. I got nothing going on. Nothing's happening in my life. And this is awful until him. And then one day I met him. One day Jesus found me. One day he called me. And while I was sitting in church, I wasn't even there because I thought I was going to get anything or know anything or do anything. But while I was sitting in that service, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move on me, and I realized that he loved me and that he cared about me. And when I found my way to that altar and he began to move on my heart and change my ways and took that heart of stone out and put in that heart of flesh, and he began to wash me from my sins. And man, I'm telling you something, I realized this is what I've been looking for. This is the missing piece of the puzzle. This is what I've been trying to fit into this place in my life. This is filling the void. We'll never be complete in these other things. You'll never find this perfect mate that's going to complete you. It won't happen. We say that silly romantic stuff because it's gushy and it sounds good and it gets you a little sugar. You complete me. Oh. But that's not really true. It's sweet. The sentiment's there. We understand what you're saying, but it don't happen. Let me tell you. There ain't a car, and I love cars, certain brand of cars, or do I do? But they don't make one that would complete me. There ain't a job that completes me. Hey, this, I got the best job in the world, but it don't complete me. The one I work for completes me. If we keep trying to fill the hole inside of us with temporary things, then we just have to keep doing more and more and more. And if our hope is that these things will satisfy us and complete us, then we always wind up disappointed. That's why I hear people say, don't put any expectations in anything. You'll always be disappointed. But one right in the scripture said, my expectation is in God. And God has never disappointed me. Never disappointed me. God has always been faithful. God has always been true. God has always fulfilled his word. God will do what he said he will do. We need the Lord because there's nothing else was designed to do it. No other person. God didn't design other people to complete you. He didn't design things to complete you. He is perfect, and we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, jobs, relationships, money, they're temporary. Fade away. You can't hold on to them. They make wings and fly away. They don't have the capability to complete you. The Bible says the things that we see are temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And Peter wrote, he said, we love him though we have not seen him. And even though we haven't seen him, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory because we know that he's moved in. We know what he has done in our life. And we need him. On some level, we've all tried to fill in the void somewhere. But listen. We always wind up incomplete unless it is about him. And when we look at this woman in the scripture that we started out reading about, she had come to Jesus. She was a Samaritan woman and she was at the well. I'm going to read a little bit about her in a second, but she needed something that Jesus had. I want to read this prophecy that Isaiah wrote just to kind of set the stage. In Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, it says, everyone that thirsteth. That's a picture of somebody who needs something. And if you need something, you're incomplete. Everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. And he that has no money, come and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? He's the bread of life. But why do we work so hard for things that are not him? Why labor for the things that don't satisfy you? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Too many people trying to lose the wrong kind of weight. We need what he's got to offer. So when we go back to John chapter 4, I know I'm just being plain and kind of going. My wife told me, she said, that Sunday school lesson was the 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock message. And I said, well, maybe it'll get us ready for this one. But in John 4, again, where it talks about this woman, just listen to what Jesus has to say. When he gets to the well, Jesus was weary with his journey, and he sits on the well. It's about the sixth hour, and here comes this woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus, he's always first. He always makes first contact. He loved us. That's why we love him. He first loved us. He always makes first contact. And Jesus looks at her and says, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But in verse 10, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew what you were missing, and that's the problem. People don't realize what they're missing. They don't realize what it is. So that's why they're here, there, and everywhere trying to find anything to fill this void. They don't realize what it is. But he's come to a woman who knows what it's like to try to fill her life with things that have failed her time and time and time again. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then have you that living water? Don't ever think that Jesus is incapable of satisfying your need. You got nothing to draw. Where's your bucket? So many times we look at Jesus and we think, but you don't have what it takes to fix this. And he's like, but I do. Jesus, this is not the way this should be done. Who's the master? Who's got all the answers? Yeah. And she said, are you greater than our father, Abraham, or Jacob, that gave us this well? And he drank here himself and his children and his cattle. And listen, no matter how great whatever it is you have is, it's not greater than what Jesus has got to offer. It'll never be greater than God. But she's like, are you greater? Are you really better? Are you really what I need? Are you really going to be able to do this? Jesus answered and said, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. They'll stay. I don't care who gave you this well. I know who Jacob is. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know who he is. But I'm telling you that even whoever drinks this well, they'll thirst again, no matter who this well was named after. And so he said, whoever drinks the water that I give him, never thirst, but the water that I give will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what just happened to this sister. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's that well of living water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said, sir, give me this water. Give me this water. So I don't come here anymore. I don't want to come back here anymore. I don't want to ever come back to this. Give me this water so I'll never come back to this old well. Now, of course, she's not completely understanding everything. She thinks she'll never have to come back and drink regular water again. She don't know what he's talking about. But we realize what Jesus is talking about, that the natural things will lose their pull on you. You'll no longer desire these things of the world. Once you drink from him and satisfy that thirst, friend, once you do that, you don't desire the things of the old life. You don't want to go back to the old ways. You don't want to go back to those things that don't work anymore. You simply want him. Jeremiah, the prophet, wrote this. The Lord was speaking to his people. He said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They got rid of what they needed, and they made cisterns, broken cisterns, and they can't even hold water. What they've got will never work. They'll never be able to keep what they need with the things they're doing themselves. They got rid of me, the fountain, the continual flowing fountain of living water, and they tried to get something that would just hold some old stagnant water, but it's full of holes. It'll never work. They're always trying to fill it, but it's always pouring out. It can never be full because it's always running out. Because it's busted and it's broken and it won't work. And God designed it that way, that we wouldn't get caught up with the things of this world, but that we would look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That we would behold Him and understand, this is what I need. In John chapter 7, this is what Jesus was talking about in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He's at a feast. They'd been eating and drinking for days. And he saw people coming back day after day because they were hungry or thirsty again. But he said, if you're really thirsty, if there's something going on inside of you that this is not satisfying, come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, but we know that it's already given now. And we just watched this precious sister be filled with the Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues. And this is exactly what Jesus was talking about. That somewhere we realize that there's a need. I've got something. I love you. I know about you. I believe in you. But still, there's something going on that I know it's not all there yet. And Jesus says, that's right, because you've got to have the Spirit. You've got to have this fountain of living water. You've got to have that to complete you. You must be born again. Born of water, born of the Spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong with things in your life. This woman, we read, she said, Jesus said, call your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, well, you've had five husbands. Now, there's all kind of stories and theories about these five husbands, because it goes into no other detail than the number. Did all five die? Was she running around on them? Were they running around on her? Did they just throw in the towel? I don't know what, but she had had five previous husbands. After the first one, she got another one. After the second one, she got another one. She kept trying to find maybe her identity in being married. And it doesn't say she had any children, anything like that. So I don't know what the rest of her life was like. But finally, she just said, forget about marriage. I'm just going to get me somebody. And because marriage evidently ain't working, so maybe I'll just get me somebody. And that way I won't be lonely. And that way I'll just have somebody to come home to or whatever. But it wasn't working. Because these things can never complete you. There's two views of it. Ecclesiastes 6 and 7 tells us this, that all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not filled. Everything we do, we're trying to fill ourselves. We're trying to satisfy an appetite for our flesh. But on the spiritual side, Jesus said this in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And when something is filled, it's complete. There's no room for anything else. It's filled. And I'm glad today that there are things in this life that will fill us and fulfill us and complete us. We are complete in Him. When we search and seek after Jesus and His righteousness, friend, we are going to be filled. In Hebrews 13 and 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Without Jesus, there is no contentment. But with him, I can be content with what I've got. I don't have to always be trying to get something else, something new, bring something else into my life, because I'm content with him. I don't have to always be the new thing, the better thing, the bigger thing. And again, there's nothing wrong with things until they begin to take the place of him. And we start finding our identity in those things. And we, We start finding our hope in those things, and then we realize that they're just going to let us down. But with Jesus, we're content. There's no there's no contentment because there's no completeness. And this body, the scripture says, is a temple. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's what Paul wrote, which you have of God. This body was designed to be filled with the Spirit. And that's why anything else that goes in, tries to take its place, will never work, will never satisfy you. Only this Spirit. And so whenever He's not living here, we're incomplete. But once the Spirit moves in, and that river of living water begins to flow, we are complete in Him. In Him we live. The Paul said in Acts, in Him we live, in Him we move, and we have our being. He is everything that we need. And then the rest of life and things come with it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Things begin to fall in place. Things begin to make sense when we are in Him. We are in Him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. We are complete in Him. So we are complete when old things go away and new things come in. We can't figure it out sometimes while we go to church. We try to live for Him and then we still feel incomplete. Well, did we let go of the old things? Hard to feel complete when you're still dragging around, you know, a dead man's possessions. Well, I told people, I said, folks are grave robbers. They get buried in it. The Bible says we're buried with Him in baptism. When we're buried, the old man stays down, but people start grave robbing, going back and getting things out of that grave. Leave it there. You're better off without it. Better off without it. Praise God. When we're born again, new birth, born of water, baptized in His name, and born of the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, that's why it takes both to be complete. When Peter was talking to Cornelius at his house, they received the Spirit, and they were all speaking in tongues, and he said, well, who can forbid water that these should not be baptized as we were? Why? Because just being filled with the Spirit didn't complete them. They were born of the Spirit, but they needed to be born of the water. And so they were all baptized in the name of Jesus, and they were made whole. Let's stand together this morning. I know I haven't been very long, didn't feel like I would be. It's almost like I'm teaching this afternoon, and I preach this morning. I don't know, but that's just the way the Lord lined it up. And I'm all right with it. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, and therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Him because He completes me. When you think about the beginning, God created man in His image. God created Adam. And I don't know, it's going to be great to get to heaven and to see all these people. I want to know what Adam looked like. God didn't have to say, oh, I didn't really do good on this one, but there he is. I feel like Adam was probably without blemish. He was the first, you know, the first Adam. Jesus was the second. Jesus was a perfect man. I feel like Adam was perfect in his flesh. I don't think he had any scars. I don't think he had any warts. He didn't have any moles. I think there was no blemish in him. I think he was perfect. Hair, eyes, ears, teeth, hands, arms. He was complete. He was laying there, formed him from the dust, but he was not alive. He couldn't farm. He couldn't pick fruit. He couldn't do nothing. He was supposed to be the keeper of the garden. He couldn't do anything. Why? Because he wasn't complete yet. He wasn't complete, the scripture says, until God breathed into Adam. He breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. It took the breath of God, the Spirit of God, to make him complete. He was just a body lying in the dust until God came along and completed him. We will never be complete. The Bible says without the Spirit of Christ, we're none of his. We need him to complete us. And I was so thankful that this lady just filled the Holy Ghost this morning. Right there, just pray. Come up for prayer. Just like we said, just try your faith. Step out in faith and see what happens. And she came and just like the scripture said, she was filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, just like the Bible said. Well, that's probably for... No, that's for everybody. Acts 2 and 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Spirit of the Lord is for anybody and everybody that wants it, that believes in him. Remember, Jesus said, if they believe on me, they should receive it. They should have it. So I don't know today where you're at, what you're juggling, what you're trying to shuffle around in your life to feel complete. But I can tell you this, you'll be shuffling to the end of time until you get him, because nobody completes you but him. And today he's here for you. Now listen, it doesn't mean, you know, sometimes people say, you're saying I have nothing? No, absolutely not. People have faith. They love the Lord. They're trying. They're doing everything they can, but we still need him. We all start out somewhere. So if you need him today, not just to know about him, not just to hear about him, but if you really need him today, if you're tired of dealing with that empty spot, always trying to do something else, listen, you'll never post enough to fill the hole. You'll never take enough selfies to fill the hole. You'll never be able to do anything. You can't get enough likes. You can't do enough things to feel that completeness, because only Jesus is going to do that. I want to just give you an opportunity to come and pray this morning. And if you need the Holy Ghost and you want to be filled with the Spirit, you don't want to just feel him, you want to be filled with the Spirit, then you can come this morning and someone will pray with you and God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you can be complete in him. And life can be different today. When you leave this place today, you say, satisfied. I'm satisfied with my Savior. I'm satisfied with what God's doing in my life. Praise God. So while they're playing and singing, I'm going to open the altars and ask you to come this morning. And all that would, just come and pray. And let's gather around. And if you need the Holy Ghost, ask one of these saints, would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? I'd love to be filled with the Spirit. I don't want to be searching anymore. But I want to turn my attention to him. I'm only complete in you, Jesus.
Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.